streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is in Beijing. He will attend 3 days' worth of meetings with his Chinese counterpart on everything from trade to competition to keeping the lines of communication with China open. Record-breaking heat and dangerous temperatures predicted for much of the country in the next few days. In New York City, precautions are being taken to protect against mosquitoes that carry things like West Nile virus.
Trucks from New York City's health department fanning across Manhattan and Brooklyn, targeting disease-carrying mosquitoes with pesticide spray. It comes as the country's former top infectious disease official, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was recently hospitalized with the virus. The 83-year-old is now home and expected to make a full recovery.
That's ABC's Ariel Reshev. Army Private Travis King, who bolted across the DMZ into North Korea, is set to plead guilty today to desertion and assault. Unclear how much time in a military prison he could be facing. This is ABC News. The new school year at Rice University, beginning with a tragedy. A junior there, Andrea Avila, one of two people found dead in a dorm. ABC's Jessica Willey.
According to Rice University police, Andrea missed her classes Monday and a family member could not reach her. The relative requested a welfare check at her Jones College room, and around 4:30 p.m., the couple was found along with a note believed written by the shooter. The discovery triggered a shelter in place. The university canceled classes through Tuesday and reminded students of counseling resources available now.
Ukraine getting emergency energy help from the United States. New equipment on the way after the barrage of missiles and drones from Russia targeting energy facilities across the country. It was the largest Russian air attack since the start of the war. And Apple is sending out invitations to a September 9th event. A new iPhone and new artificial intelligence features are expected to be unveiled. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More campaign stops here in Wisconsin this week as the two presidential campaigns eye to get the Badger State on their side. Former President Donald Trump is coming to La Crosse on Thursday. He'll be hosting a town hall. And just announced on Monday, vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance is coming to De Pere. He'll deliver a speech at a business. Vance in particular has been here a lot recently, even joking last week that he basically lives in Wisconsin now. The last visit from the Harris-Walz campaign was in Milwaukee on Tuesday. No word yet on their next visit. And some fast food workers in southern Wisconsin will soon be out of work. KFC is closing more than 24 locations across the Midwest. This specific group of restaurants is owned by a franchisee called FYM. 5 Wisconsin locations have shut their doors. They're in Beloit, Janesville, Reedsburg, Stoughton, and Watertown. That leaves 81 people without jobs. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers add a new quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers traded for Malik Willis, a third-year quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. In return, the Titans get a seventh-round draft pick next year. Willis on mastering the progressions when learning a new NFL playbook in Green Bay.
You know, progressions are a part of quarterback play wherever you're at, so I just felt like you get to different ones at this level, and you with a new team and new people, so you just got to get used to it.
College football, the Badgers getting ready for their first game of the season Friday when they host Western Michigan. Luke Fickell on what they know about the Broncos.
We know as little as we ever have known, right? I mean, they got a new offensive coordinator, they got a new defensive coordinator, and they got a new special teams coordinator. So what do you know, right? Obviously, the head coach is an offensive guy. What the head coach has done, or is it more of the Walt Bell? And, you know, are they going to be the Louisiana Lafayette where the defensive coordinator came from? I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns. You know, even with transfers and things like that, there's still a lot of unknowns.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. A few thunderstorms tonight, 57 tomorrow, partly cloudy, and a bit cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us. We have Greg Wansnyder from Carroll University and a very special announcement from Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 27th, 2024. It's another beautiful morning here across Wisconsin to have you here up north from wherever you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're on the Civic Media app or through social media or on demand by podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you, mostly a question for, well, Greg as well, but here's my question for you. Aren't BLTs the best? I had a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich for dinner last night, and it's the perfect light summer sandwich. Here with an opposing viewpoint. Here with an opposing viewpoint is Greg Bach.
Disgusting.
Okay, that's enough of that. We apparently ignited something yesterday with Greg's hot take that he is not a fan of what you lovingly refer to as the trash sandwich.
Yes.
That is the BLT, which coincidentally was happening as it was planned in the Kreitlow kitchen last night. And I have to say, maybe it was just spite I was tasting, but it was one of the most delicious BLTs we've ever made.
You posted great on Twitter about it. It was a spite sandwich. Okay, please don't. There's no such thing as a delicious BLT.
Oh, come on. Where did this start?
Because it's a salad. That's all it is. It's a salad held together by two big croutons. That's it. Because it's lettuce, tomato, and bacon.
Yeah,
that's it. That's not a
sandwich. What good meat sandwich isn't meat with some lettuce and tomato?
But bacon's barely a meat for a sandwich. Like, you put bacon on the sandwich, it's an addition. It's not the main. It's not the star of the show. It's a feature player on SNL at best.
Oh, I can't believe a red-blooded American male is saying this about bacon.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't love bacon as much as everybody else does, apparently. I think bacon's fine. It does its job. It's, you know, it's a carcinogen. But the point is, and here's the other thing, too, Pat. I'll just say this very quickly, and then, you know, I'll only talk about this later today and then during the show on Matinair and Air, and probably to myself, to the dog. But people will say, like, well, you know what you do is you throw an egg on there. Well, then that's just an egg sandwich then with some bacon. That's not a BLT. Oh, you put some avocado. That's not a BLT then. That is a different sandwich when you add a fourth letter. So when you just give me like bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Okay, cool. Why did you stop there? Why did you did you run out of ingredients?
We could just do this all day with whether something is a sandwich or is not a sandwich.
Based on
Greg's point of view.
I accept that it's a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I accept that fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not accept that it's a good sandwich or a filling sandwich. Take a BLT, cut it in four pieces, put it on a plate, and if you serve that as an appetizer, okay, here we go. Get me started. Then we're going to order our entree. But you expect me to eat that as like the meal? Get out of my house.
Here's what else is coming up this morning on Up North News Radio. We talked to Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren while she was barnstorming across Wisconsin yesterday on behalf of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And so we talk a bit about her advice to Wisconsin Democrats when it comes to running and talking about the past 4 years in terms of accomplishments. We also ask her about J.D. Vance's recent claim that Donald Trump would veto a national abortion ban if such a bill reached his desk. Meanwhile, we'll talk about Donald Trump shamelessly using Arlington National Cemetery to politicize American troops killed in Afghanistan. In our second hour, it is just about harvest time in Wisconsin, and it looks to be another healthy crop for cranberries in a state that overwhelmingly grows the most. We'll look at the impact of the industry on the state economy. Also, it looks like American agriculture dodged a bullet from up in Canada, where a massive railroad strike, it looks like it won't happen after all, something that could have had a huge impact on Wisconsin exports. And it reminds us to take note that railroad workers in the U.S. Also narrowly avoided a strike, but I don't know that enough people have done the follow-up to tell you that since that time, railroad workers in the U.S. have won some big victories at the bargaining table. So we'll cover that and much more today, along with your texts, phone calls, questions, comments at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can watch Up North News Radio on our Facebook page for Up North News, the Facebook page for Civic Media, and also the YouTube page for Up North News. And if you put something in the comment section there, we will see it and potentially put it up on screen and respond to it, or you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And please don't forget about that Civic Media app. It is a great way to listen to us live or find a station that's near you, learn more about the shows that you can listen to. You can go to the website, civicmedia.us, for podcast links and much more. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here in under an hour now. Tell us about round two of thunderstorms that are just moving into Wisconsin right now. The radar shows that a line of heavy rain and thunder, lots of lightning, just now crossing into St. Croix, Polk, and Pepin counties, Pierce County. There's also a thin line of thunderstorms that has just formed basically between Wausau and Marquette. And then there was that massive system that has finally moved out now and is moving across lower Michigan. But it was, boy, was it. It was, Greg, how do we describe yesterday? I mean, is steamy enough? And I don't know, maybe it wasn't by you, but with a heat index reading approaching 110 in the La Crosse area, it was a little toasty.
Oh, it was just, it was gross. It was really hot down. We would only let Maybell out for like a minute so she'd go to the bathroom and come right back in, and it was and this morning when I left the house it was 81 degrees.
Just yeah,
at least give me like 70 degrees in the early morning, and then it can get hotter. But like when you walk out, I've said this before, it's dark outside and it's hot, you're like, that's not fair.
Anyway, it's kind of like the last blast basically. Yeah, because I mean Labor Day's coming, it's apparently going to be back in the 70s next week for highs. And it's extremely rare to do this, you know, mid-90s stuff after that. So this might be it, and hopefully so. There was a guy with one of those lawn care places going by as I was getting the garbage cans, and my glasses were fogging up when I stepped outside.
Yeah.
That thing that only happens in the wintertime on the cold days happened on one of the hot days. And this poor fella is like, yeah, I've got to do, you know, 18 lawns or whatever it is. So
no.
I hope he, and I hope Rob and Tigerton and everybody else stayed very well hydrated.
I have a question for Rob. He can answer down the road when he gives us his weather report. Mm-hmm. Is there too hot for him where he says, I can't do the lawns today. It's just too hot. Can't I take care of myself? That's what question for Rob. He can answer whenever he wants. That's all I want to know. Because I want to know he's taking care of himself.
Right. Well, so would I. But I also know that some people would write in that their answer is, well, only if I can still pay the rent. You know, some people feel like they don't have a choice.
Yeah, I guess.
They got to make the money. It's very unfortunate. So, yeah, everybody stay hydrated and everything for one more day, and then hopefully we'll get a nice cool down after that. You can get our daily newsletter at Up North News. Sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And in today's edition, in case you missed our conversation earlier on the radio, a Wisconsin woman went through quite an ordeal when she endured a catastrophic pregnancy and required abortion care late in that pregnancy, including having to go through, you know, a mob yelling at her to go through this tragic situation. Well, now she's trying to grow her family through IVF and is once again facing the wrath of a political class that wants to tell her what she can and can't do. So we've got that story in our newsletter. We also have a link to a past radio segment where we discussed how Project 2025 is killing school lunches for a lot of children if it were to pass, if it were to be implemented. And Christina Laurie has a story about why now is the time to head to pumpkin farms, not necessarily for the pumpkins, they might not be ready yet, but for sunflowers and wagon rides and music and all kinds of things to do on a nice weekend. So look for those ideas and more in our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, now we've already spoken at length yesterday about former President Trump coming to the La Crosse area on Thursday, Thursday night, I believe it is, which somebody said, Greg, I don't remember if this was during the show or after the show, that's also move-in day. Oh, it was after the show, yeah. Apparently, that's also move-in day Thursday at UW La Crosse. And so that is going to be one crazy busy campus on Monday.
Given there are going to be a lot of upset fathers.
Yes, there are. We're in a parking spot. You know? And if anybody who's working for the college Democrats or college Republicans, boy, they start their school year off, you know, strong out of the gates. So it's going to be busy. So we've talked about that, but also J.D. Vance is now coming back to Wisconsin as well. He is scheduling a visit to De Pere tomorrow. And it has been said that the visit will be about the economy, inflation, and energy. And all I'm going to say about that is, again, much like Eric Hovde's campaign, if all you're going to say is the economy is bad, inflation is terrible, excuse me, and energy is expensive, and you got nothing else to say in terms of what are you going to do about it, then I think you may be wasting your time. I mean, traditionally, sad to say, it's often been enough for a candidate to just complain about something. And if you complain about it enough, people go, yeah, he's right or she's right. I'm unhappy about this too. And my hope is that the voters are a little bit more savvy in terms of recognizing that somebody is complaining, but not actually proposing anything. And that has been Trump's big thing. I went back and looked at his remarks from this past weekend at an event. And again, he just keeps saying things will go back to how they were when I was president, which first off, really? But second, how are you going to do that, cowboy? You can't just say things are going to go back to how they were. That's a promise that you, well, not only can't keep, you don't even know why you're saying that because you have no idea. But listen to see if there's any details from Vance or Trump in this week's visits. We'll talk more about the news next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Oh, this is a sad page in today's history lesson on the calendar related to the man who's responsible for our opening theme, Stevie Ray Vaughan. We'll have that and more details coming up about 30 minutes from now on this Tuesday morning, August the 27th. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are home for a very quick three-game homestand against the San Francisco Giants. First pitch tonight is at 7:10, pregame at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. The Badger football team opens up its season and has its home opener this Friday night against Western Michigan University of Kalamazoo. Badger coach Luke Fickell saying this might be the least they've ever known about a potential opponent, not just because it's a small school, but because they've had some coaching changes as well. So that game will kick things off for the Badgers, who then have a challenging schedule, including hosting Alabama at some point, playing USC as well in the newly realigned Big Ten. So Badger football, again, getting going this coming weekend. I am not sure who at Arlington National Cemetery gave the green light for former President Donald Trump to come use such hallowed ground as a campaign prop, but that's what happened yesterday. Under the guise of honoring 13 American men and women who were killed in a terrorist attack in Afghanistan in the waning days of the fighting there, Donald Trump has not stopped by there previously to honor those 13. Because there wasn't an election campaign going on at the time. Let's keep in mind that those 13 people who were killed in a terrorist bombing in the waning days of the Afghanistan conflict, the waning days set in motion by the Trump administration in its dealings directly with the Taliban. Let's keep in mind that these men and women are American heroes. They deserve every bit of honor and recognition they can get, including yesterday. The recognition is deserved. So we take nothing away from their honor and sacrifice in noting that there were many, many instances where there were more American casualties in any one day, in any one attack in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And yet we don't see the same commemorations happening for those many, many men and women. Why is that? Because the only reason we know as much or we hear as much about this particular attack is because it came in the waning days of Afghanistan. President Biden was criticized ceaselessly by Republicans for the chaotic end to the fighting and the American presence in Afghanistan. And to be quite frank, the Biden administration did not do nearly enough to point out the way that its hands had been tied and the Afghan government's hands had been tied by the way the Trump administration in its waning days dealt with the Taliban and set events in motion that inevitably led to that chaotic exit from Afghanistan. So the terror attack, the last significant one on U.S. forces there, was a very bitter final chapter in the U.S. presence there. But it has been politicized, and it has been politicized in a shameless and insulting manner. And so for the president of the United States, the former president, to show up on some of the country's most hallowed ground, and then to pose for pictures in front of the gravestones of at least one or more of the victims of that day, says to me all that really needs to be said about the campaign of somebody who dodged the draft with bone spurs, allegedly, and has said what he has said about people who are killed in battle or who are captured and taken prisoner of war. He, remember, spoke recently that if he were reelected, he would fire all the generals and replace them with college football coaches and race car drivers. Remember that? We played that audio from a couple of weeks ago. This is not a man with any respect whatsoever for anybody, not just the military, not just for generals, but for anybody who is not a yes man and who does not placate him when he says, why don't we drop nuclear weapons into hurricanes to try to break them up? Why don't we use the military to shoot Americans who are protesting in the streets and exercising their First Amendment rights? So as you can tell, there are a lot of people, myself included, who were plenty insulted yesterday. There were very sincere and respectful statements put out by President Biden and by Vice President Kamala Harris yesterday. And that's where it should have been left, to use Arlington National Cemetery as a prop to just continue a political attack when you haven't done the same for every other significant loss of life in Afghanistan and Iraq, just speaks volumes about how some politicians will sink to any level possible to try to get votes, rather than actually trying to solve the big problems that Americans are facing. One of the problems Americans were facing was that we'd been in Afghanistan for 20 years. The Trump administration, for whatever little credit you want to give it, was trying to put together some kind of an exit strategy. But in doing so, again, put conditions in place that made that exit significantly harder on whoever was going to follow Trump in office. And in this case, it was Joe Biden. I'll tell you who it will not be that succeeds Biden in office. It will not be Jill Stein, but she will be on the ballot here in Wisconsin and can play a role in putting Donald Trump back in office. Jill Stein will remain on the ballot after the Wisconsin Supreme Court decided yesterday not to hear a Democratic challenge that was seeking to oust her. Democrats are rightly concerned that third-party candidates could draw votes away from Kamala Harris and help Donald Trump. That could be a deciding factor. The number of votes that Jill Stein got last time around was more than enough to make up the difference. It made the difference in 2016 when Hillary Clinton fell short in Wisconsin as well. But the court decided against hearing a challenge that sought to oust Stein from the ballot. The court did not explain its reasoning, only said that they will not take any action or hear the case. The argument said that the Green Party can't nominate presidential electors in Wisconsin because the party does not have any state office holders or legislative candidates authorized to nominate presidential electors. And that gets back to what we said this time yesterday, that We could probably use a genuine third party in Wisconsin and a fourth and a fifth and build coalitions the way that pretty much every other democracy does. We're locked into this two-party system. But whether it's the Green Party or some of these other groups, until they start trying to build local support and get local electeds and don't just pop up every 4 years, they're not genuine candidates. They're grifters and spoilers. We'll hear from Elizabeth Warren on her trip to Wisconsin coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday morning. Farm Rescue is now serving Wisconsin. This is a nonprofit that helps farm families who've experienced maybe an illness, injury, or a natural disaster. The volunteers help with field work, hauling, or livestock feeding, just to name a few of their services. Wade Peterson from Baraboo has been volunteering with Farm Rescue for 4 years. He's helped 26 families through the program. He says it's rewarding work, and he actually takes 2 weeks of vacation every year to help out families in need.
Oh, just meeting the people, meeting the other volunteers. I mean, we have a huge group of volunteers, and I've worked with them from all over. The families that you help, a lot of times we're in real small communities, so we go out to eat. It's friends and neighbors will stop in and say hello. It's truly enjoyable. It can get quite emotional, and I get emotional. But no, they're always thankful, and it's great to see them smile and have a relief off their shoulders that we were able to help them.
Wade Peterson reminds us that on the farm, even amidst a tragedy, the animals still need fed, the crops still need harvested. Farming doesn't stop for anything, which he says is why Farm Rescue is such an important program. Stick around, we'll take a look at our commodity markets next.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
Tuesday morning from Chicago, cash corn is trading down a quarter of a cent at 361 and three quarters. December new crop corn is also down a quarter of a penny at 386 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are trading down a quarter of a cent at 959 and a half. November new crop beans down a penny at 979 and three quarters. And cash and new crop wheat is down a penny and a half at 496. And a half. The Class 3 milk contracts are showing strength. The September contract is up 6 cents at 22.60 a hundredweight. The October contract is staying neutral at 23.05 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 78 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. A few thunderstorms tonight, 57 tomorrow, partly cloudy, and a bit cooler with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwaba.
Dropping by on the next Nightlight is the owner of the Firehouse Comedy Club in Door County, Asher Brooks, and director, producer, musician, and founder of the fabulous website Wisconsinology, Frank Anderson.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Don't freak out until you know the facts. Relax. Don't be stupid.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has some strong words for J.D. Vance. We're about to hear from her in just a moment as she barnstorms across Wisconsin. I love still using that term. I mean, barnstorming originally dealt with when you would take small planes and fly from town to town and talk to people on the campaign trail. It's kind of right up there with, soapbox. Nobody gets up on their soapbox anymore, literally, either. But they're great terms to have, especially when somebody still understands the spirit of using them. And that's what Elizabeth Warren was doing in Wisconsin yesterday and again today. Barnstorming. Getting up on her soapbox and talking to a bunch of small audiences around the state. Not everything has to be a rally with 12,000 people. I mean, trust me, that those are big events. They're TV friendly. They're terrible for parking and on hot days and everything that I can attest to from the Harris Walls rally in Eau Claire recently. They have their place. But there's really something to be said for surrogates who are willing to go and make a whole lot of smaller visits to reach people all across an area, whether it's Wisconsin or something else. And Elizabeth Warren's not only doing that in Wisconsin this week, she also did it at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago last week with a visit to the Wisconsin delegation during their state delegation breakfast and other state delegations, of course, as well, to raise some very important points for voters about the presidential election when it comes to women's reproductive health rights and when it comes to the economy and whether somebody has a plan or if they're just going to carp about it, as we said a few moments earlier. So I caught up with Senator Warren in between Wisconsin stops yesterday afternoon. So let's give a little listen to our conversation with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who was barnstorming at the time. Senator Elizabeth Warren, thank you for joining us again on Up North News. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always good to visit with you.
Now, you got a chance to visit with the Wisconsin Convention delegation last Thursday morning, I believe it was. And the headline that came out of that was telling the assembled Democratic delegates to be proud to run as a Democrat and to run on a record of accomplishments over the past 4 years. And Senator, as somebody who has run as a Democrat, I will tell you, you and I both know that hasn't always been the case. People have shied away from the D word. And apparently that's not only okay to use, but is getting a big thumbs up from you.
You bet it is. Because this is how I look at it. Right now, where we are in this race, it's all about contrast. And Donald Trump and the Republicans are the folks, for example, who think that the government ought to decide whether or not a woman has access to abortion, whether contraception, whether a family can get access to IVF. Kamala Harris and the Democrats are the ones saying that put us in and we will make Roe versus Wade laws the land again. And women and doctors will be able to make their own decisions. That's a pretty sharp difference. And it's not just a difference between the two candidates at the top, it's a difference up and down the ballot. It's a difference at the state house. It's a difference in city councils. And it matters because, you know, right now we live in a country where nearly 40% of all women live in a state that effectively bans abortion. And if Donald Trump and J.D. Vance take the White House, it's not going to be 40%. It's going to be 100%. But Democrats are committed to protecting the freedom of every single individual to make that choice for themselves and to keep the government out of it. So I think when you stand up and say, I'm a Democrat, you're standing up for freedom. You're standing up for the power of women to be able to make those decisions. And you ought to do it loud and you ought to do it proud.
So forgive me for being speculative, but I'm going to phrase it this way. What do you think J.D. Vance was really thinking when he answered that question over the weekend and said he believed President Trump, if reelected, would veto a national abortion ban bill?
You know, I've really had to think, do you think that women are stupid? Do you think that after you've gotten up and bragged about blocking access to abortion, after Donald Trump has gotten up just last week, once again, bragging about how he put in the extremist Supreme Court that got rid of Roe versus Wade and lets governments block access to abortion, that somehow we're all going to say, oh, wow, you guys are the ones to trust on this? That's just not happening. And I want to be, if you'll let me just for a sec here, I want to be kind of wonky about this because I know Wisconsin has really had to dig into this issue recently. The part I want to underscore is there's an old law on the books. You in Wisconsin know about these old laws on the books, right?
Oh, yes.
That were written a long time ago. There's one at the federal level called the Comstock Act, and it's still on the books. And it technically says you can't mail, you can't send around any medication or any equipment that could be used in an abortion. You're not allowed to do that. And basically hadn't been enforced for a bazillion years. There are some people who think it can't even be enforced at this point. But here's the thing. As Project 2025 has pointed out, it's still there on the books. And if Donald Trump is president, he can put in the right person over the Department of Justice to go sue to enforce the Comstock Act. And you take it to the extremist Supreme Court that's there right now, and they will give it their blessing. And if you think that sounds a little far-fetched, understand just a few months ago, J.D. Vance sent a letter to the Department of Justice telling them to do exactly that. So the idea that these guys want to come in now and try to gaslight Americans and say, oh, well, I understand it turns out that what we've said about abortion and contraception and IVF is pretty unpopular. So we'll see if we can just lie to you and somehow fool you into trusting us. And I just got to say that we're not falling for this. We are not trusting our daughters' futures, our granddaughters' futures, to two guys who have bragged about blocking access to abortion, who think that should be a government decision instead of the freedom of families to make for themselves.
I wonder if that same bit of rhetorical sleight of hand is going on with the economic issues, because I know you've been mixing it up with certain talking heads on TV who want to look at rules against price gouging and conflate it with price fixing. So I'd like you to lay out the case when I'm sure it'll come from Eric Hovde against Tammy Baldwin, certainly from Trump and Vance, that a Harris-Walz administration would engage in price fixing as opposed to what price gouging does to consumers.
Absolutely. And thanks for raising this one, Pat. So as you may know, about three dozen states, including Wisconsin, have price gouging laws, and they're not price fixing. They don't say here's how prices have to be set or here's what all prices are. All that these laws say are that when there are extraordinary circumstances, there's been a fire, there's been a pandemic, there's been a hurricane. In a case like that, if you've got a seller who comes in and starts charging $10 a bottle for water, you've got a seller who starts coming in and charging, you know, $100 a sheet for plywood. Then the local attorney general can say, yo, you can't do that. No. And Wisconsin has used these laws before, Democrat and Republican administrations. And by the way, when I say it's about three dozen states, understand it, states like Texas and Florida use these laws all the time. And it's the way I think of it, it's a curb on markets. When markets go haywire because something has gone wrong in the market, you've got a powerful monopolist or you've got an emergency that's happened, it's a way to have just one more tool in the toolbox to say, no, you're not going to be able to do that. And often simply threatening them with a price gouging law brings those prices right back down. So what Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin and I are all supporting is to say, let's take a sensible law like that that's already used in the majority of states. Let's take it national. And the reason to take it national is that where families are getting gouged now is not so much in one part of Wisconsin where there's been a terrible storm. They're getting gouged all across the country by these giant corporations, corporations like Hershey that sell 40% of all the candy and sweets in the country, companies like Kraft, companies like a giant egg producer called Cal-Maine that saw its profits increase, not just a little, didn't just pass along costs from inflation, saw its profits go up 718%. So this is one more tool in the toolbox. When these guys, not just passing along cost increases, but who are actually using an opportunity to take advantage of families, we're going to have at least one tool in the toolbox to be able to put a stop to that. And to me, here's the main thing. What's Donald Trump's plan to lower the cost of groceries? Nothing. He's got nothing. And what would you expect from a guy who's probably never had to worry about paying a grocery bill? But Kamala Harris, she's got a plan on the table, one that's proven effective in Wisconsin, and she wants to take it national. And Tammy Baldwin and I want to help her do that.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Caught up with Senator Warren in between stops in Wisconsin. She's got a couple of more today doing some barnstorming for the Harris-Walz ticket. And that would continue under a Harris-Walz administration. But we've talked about them here previously. And that would be, you know, taking care of the, you know, the junk fees that are out there, the hidden charges, all the things that seem small, but if you don't stop them, they only get bigger. They snowball on consumers. And somebody eventually has to call companies out on that. And that, you know, Republicans are now saying that that's some kind of a socialist or communist measure, when the fact of the matter is the people that they're calling socialists are probably better capitalists than they are. Capitalism requires a referee. It always has. Going back to Adam Smith when he first wrote about it, capitalism requires a referee. Because otherwise, it's not capitalism. It's kleptocracy. We use the term Wild West now, you know, Wild West capitalism, where, you know, vultures can essentially prey on consumers and their workers and the environment. Which, by the way, takes me to a new campaign ad from Congressman Derek Van Orden. You just heard how Elizabeth Warren said, you know, what's Donald Trump's plan? And the same can be said of Eric Hovde, Derek Van Orden, and all the rest. What's your plan? Well, Derek Van Orden's new ad mentions red tape three or four times. Says, we're going to get rid of the red tape. Going to get rid of the red tape. And I'm married to one of the smartest women I've ever met. And she looked at that and said, what is red tape? And I mean, she already knew the answer. It was more rhetorical, but just to confirm it, I said, those are the things that some people, especially Republicans, call regulations. They're protections. They're protections for the consumer. They're protections for the employees. They're protections for the environment. But big corporations don't like them, so they refer to them as red tape. So when you're supporting somebody like a Derek Van Orden, whose only promise is to get rid of quote-unquote red tape, it means it's going to be easier for products to be less safe, for employment to be less secure, and for our air and water to be less clean. Now you know. We'll have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Today's history lesson begins with the anniversary of the birth of the late Jeff Cook, the lead guitarist and fiddle player for Alabama, who passed away a couple of years ago. It's a little kind of a bittersweet history lesson today, as you'll hear when we close things out as well. But on to happier notes, there was this great Fats Domino song from 1955. It hit number 10, and that was the first R&B song to hit the top 10 on the pop chart was this one by Fats Domino.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain.
It was a wonderful thing for this to become the first R&B song to get on the top 10 pop chart, but as often happened in the 1950s, you couldn't leave well enough alone. It would chart again 3 weeks later as the number one song, but not by Fats Domino.
Oh, no.
By Pat Boone.
Oh, God.
I know. Just want to go back to 1950s America.
Is that not a shame?
Is that not a shame? Oh, Pat Boone. All right. Let's move our way up to 1964, 60 years ago today. Happy birthday to the Mary Poppins Disney movie, a Sherman Brothers musical featuring Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke.
Chim, chiminy, chim, chim, cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be.
How would you describe Dick Van Dyke, his singing and dialect throughout this movie?
An almost offensive accent. But the greatest version of an English accent done by an American actor. God bless you, Dick Van Dyke, live in health. I think he's 98 and still kicking. So.
98, that's right. Wow, can't believe that movie's 60 years old now.
Yeah.
On this day in 1988, it's a song you heard a lot in 1988, maybe a little bit after that, but then a whole lot after Luke Combs covered it. But Tracy Chapman's self-titled debut album was the number one album this day in 1988 because of this single.
I still get goosebumps when I hear this intro.
Is it because of the duet they did?
No, I mean just
or just the, just the carousel,
the just the guitar part, just the guitar part. It's just so quiet and.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. The single itself peaked at number 6, but it was the number 1 album this week in 1988. Fast forward 3 years, and Pearl Jam was brand new on the music scene. They released their debut album, 10, on this day in 1991. So while we're talking about 1990s rock, this is, I guess, the appropriate place to ask this question. The news story, it says that the Brit pop band known as Oasis and known for its timeless hits like Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger is reuniting for a tour next summer, ending a 15-year hiatus because of a long feud between brothers Liam and Noel Gallagher, who make up Oasis.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm asking this as a 60-year-old man who spends a lot of time listening to yacht rock. Do they deserve all the accolades that there's been so much angst over the years about, will they get back together? Oh, we miss them so much. Why are these brothers fighting? And I guess I know the one song, Wonderwall. Should I appreciate them more?
I think you should. I really do. And I'll say that because I didn't appreciate Oasis for a very long time. And then a friend of mine, a fellow musician, sat me down and he's like, listen to these songs. Just listen to them as, like, how well-constructed they are. Noel Gallagher is an amazing songwriter. Some can say he does a fair amount of ripping off from older artists, which is fair. I mean, but then again, find me a song that doesn't sound like a song. but they are great pop rock songs. It started off this Brit pop sound with them and Blur. And they're saying they're ending the 15-year hiatus, but they're not saying they're ending the 50-year feud between these two guys I want to know what the logistics of getting them to the gigs are going to be, because I don't think they got into a room and said, all right, brother, I love you. I love you. They hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, they weren't the only ones. There have been other acts over time, you know, that it took a lot of money to get them back together. Like, don't ask us to be nice to each other, but if you're a fan, you're going to be happy with this new tour, apparently.
They're going to play stadiums and make tens of millions of dollars.
I guess. Well, talk about playing in stadiums and arenas. Let's go back to Pat's genre of music, Jackson Browne, 1977. You hear these songs on the radio and you hear the audience and you go, I wonder where that was recorded, that one concert lives in immortality. And for Jackson Browne, it includes Running on Empty and The Loadout with Stay. And those were recorded on this day in 1977 in Columbia, Maryland. Naturally, I picked the beginning of the song, so you can't hear the audience cheering and everything, but you know the song.
They're there.
And you know that it was recorded this day in 1977 at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. All right, we said we were going to close things out on a kind of a sad note. Stevie Ray Vaughan, who does the song Crossfire that leads our show here, he died in a helicopter crash in near East Troy on this day in 1990 following a concert at Alpine Valley, where earlier in the evening he'd appeared with, I mean, what a lineup at Alpine Valley that evening. Robert Cray, Buddy Guy, Eric Clapton, and his older brother, Jimmy Vaughan. So let's play a little bit of Stevie here. And again, somebody that I appreciate some of the songs. I just never seem to get too deep into an artist. And he's on my list of, I need to start listening to more of these albums, you know, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Here's look at Little Sister while we remind you that more coming up in our next hour, including talking with Hans Breitenmoser about the Wisconsin cranberry crop looking to be pretty good this year. Back after this on Up North News Radio.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, what's grinding his gears and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But did you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.